you are watching that video, Speak the Name of Jesus, it's almost like a sermon to music, isn't it?
Yes.
Like a Bible study to music. It really is very profound and beautiful. Let's take a moment to ask God for his blessing on the reading of his word and to give us insights into who he is today. Father, how thankful we are for your grace and your love. We take time right now to open your word, to read about the things that you would have us to hear. Bless us this morning, each and every one here. Give us a special anointing and a filling of your Holy Spirit, where we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, the genesis for the thoughts, I just want to share with you for a little while this morning. But the genesis for the thoughts that I want to share with you came to me a few weeks ago when we had the baptismal service. And I was here and I was watching and I was thinking about baptism, its meanings, and its wonder. We all know that it means, even right here, down into the water, dying to self, back up out of the water to live for God. But there's a little bit more to it than that. There's a giving away of the flesh and the world and the way we were, and now coming up and clinging on to something new, clinging on to Jesus. So we're letting go of the old, and we're clinging on to the new. Now, I always forget something, don't I? I don't have glasses. I can't read.
It happens.
In fact, I brought two, so I'll leave one here. So the next time I forget to bring them, I'll have one here. All right, so the thought we have is dying to self, now living or grasping for God. It's a great act of worship. It's worship. We're worshiping God by doing what he has asked us to do and doing it in a way that he would like. Dylan's mother, by her actions, was saying, no longer to this, I want this. And that was even in her testimony. The picture of worship is obedience. Obedience to God. And I've titled this little time we have together, A Faithful Journey of Worship. A Faithful Journey of Worship. Now, I'm going to look at two portions of Scripture today. I'll read the first portion. I want you to turn to the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, and I'll catch up with you at that point later on, okay? But I'm reading the first portion is when Jesus went to Samaria and met the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. And Jesus broke a lot of traditions this day. Normally, the Jewish people would go around Samaria to get to their destination, not going through it. They never talked to the Samaritans. Jesus breaks the traditions because his hand is upon all. He came for all. So Jesus breaks the transition, speaks to the Samaritan woman, and she says this to him. After he interacts with her, telling her about her life, what went on with the husbands and all, and she says, I perceive that you're a prophet. I perceive that you're a prophet. I can tell that you're the prophet. Now, the message turns real quickly. The next thing she says to him is our fathers worship here in this mountain. You Jews, you say it's to worship down in Jerusalem. Now, she went from him being a prophet all of a sudden to asking about worship. So I think there was something more involved in the dialogue than were actually given. I think it's inferred that they began to talk about worshiping. And she says, well, we do it here, you do it there. Jesus' response is prophetic. When he says to her, we worship what we know, because salvation is of the Jews. But a time is coming, and even now has arrived, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such people the Father seeks to worship him. Now, it was an interesting way of Jesus saying that. When I read it, I was transfixed on this portion where Jesus said, and the Father seeks these people to worship him. Those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, you know what? I want to be one of those people. So I got to figure out what he meant by worshiping in spirit and in truth. You know, sometimes, and don't get me wrong, I love to praise God, but sometimes we get lost in that worship is singing songs. Worship is playing musical instruments. There's a lot more to worship than just the wind and the strings and the voice. There's an obedience that has to come, even with that. The time has come when they who worship him will worship him in spirit and truth. Not on a mountain, not in Jerusalem. Jerusalem's going away. The temple, in a couple of years, the veil is going to be torn, and the temple is going to be taken down. So there's no more worship in the temple where they would. And Jesus is saying, the time has now come, and it's in me, and me alone, that worship will take place. There's a worshiping in spirit and in truth. A spirit of worship. A truth in worship. Notice he said, when he said it, let me go back and read it for you. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. There's a spirit of worship. There's a spirit in worship. There's a truth of worship. There's a truth in worship. And Jesus said, this is who the Father is looking for. It's almost like the baptism. There's a change. There's a change in thought. There's a change in preparation. There's a change in practice of how we're dealing with God, how we're worshiping him. It's now in spirit and in truth. You need to know these things to find out, I want to be one of these people. May God grant us that we'll all find our place there, where we are true worshipers of God in spirit and in truth and touching heaven each and every time. As that song said, I want to speak the name of Jesus. I want to be able to have that kind of power inside. Now we'll go to Genesis. Are you all at Genesis? Chapter 22. Remember, the title of this little time we're having together is a faithful journey of worship. And we're going to find out what worship is. We don't want to just leave it just in singing and playing music. There's a real vitality to worship. Let me read. This is the story of Abraham and Isaac when needs to be sacrificed. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And then he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled the donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Then Abraham said to the young man, stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, laid it on his son Isaac, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to his father, Abraham, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look at the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. They came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham reached out with his hand, took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. I always want to be able to say that, here I am, God, here I am. Whenever he was called, here I am, I'm ready, here I am. And he said, do not reach out your hand against the boy. Do not do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went, took the ram, offered it up as a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham named the place, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. As it said this day, on a mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Notice we're in verse 5. Now we're going to catch up to verse 5, but this is where the emphasis comes. Abraham said to his young men, those he brought to help him, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and we will worship. Notice there's no piano. There's no stringed instruments. There's no wind instruments. There's no fog machines. We see that sometimes in churches. All there is the wood for the fire and the boy. And that's going to be worship. That's worship. The obedience and the willingness of this 100-year-old man plus and this teenage boy. The story of worship is brought to us by these. And we are told that it was to be a test. Now, when the angel said, don't do it, for now I know that you have faith in me, it really wasn't that. God was giving a lesson to Abraham that Abraham would follow. God knew all along exactly what was going to happen. He knew exactly what Abraham. So the test wasn't on God. The test was for Abraham to begin to understand. Someone had to give up. Someone had to let go. That's the worship. Just like in this baptismal tank. I'm leaving this and I'm coming here. Just like on the mountain. No longer on the mountain, no longer in Jerusalem, but where I will show you and where I am, that's where the worship will be. This was also to be prophetic. It's instructive, but it's also prophetic of Jesus and God's willingness in worship to give Jesus for the sins of the world. Now, interesting thing in verse 5, it says, we will go worship over there. This is the first time the word worship is mentioned in the Bible. The first 21 chapters of Genesis, there's no mention of worship. This is the first time it is mentioned. And it's mentioned in context with obedience. Wood for the fire, willing people, willing to go and obey. And this is the first time we see the word worship. So this can be considered the identification of worship. Not in the raising of hands. We love to raise hands. We love to sing. We love to praise Him. But true worship is in so much more. It's right in here. It's right in here. And our willingness to let go, to hear from God, and to follow what He would want. Our willingness to obey. Letting go and grasping what God would have us to do. Abraham knew more than I think we are told. Look at verse 1, if you will. Verse 1, some commentators think that Abraham knew what was happening. There's more to it than we are enlightened to in the Word. And some commentators think that this was a conversation that Abraham was having with God. Now, God dealt differently in those days. He spoke more plainly to the old prophets than he does to us. Hebrew says, in these last days, God speaks to us through Jesus. So as we read about Jesus, as we come to understand Jesus, that's how God speaks to us. But in verse 2, is it verse 2 or verse 1? Let me see. Verse 2. So, as I said, some commentators think this was dialogue. Now, we're not told that, but it's an interesting proposition. God says, Abraham, He says, here I am. And God says, take now your son. Comment back is, I have two sons. Your only son. They're both my sons. Do you see the dialogue that's going, the way it progresses? Take your son. I got two sons. Your only son. They're both my sons. The one whom you love. I love both of my sons. And then the hammer hits. Take Isaac. Not Ishmael. Isaac. It would have been so much easier, wouldn't it have been, if it was Ishmael? But Ishmael was not the son of promise. Ishmael was the son of the flesh. Take Isaac, the child of the promise, the child of faith, the child of the covenant. I want you to take him. And Abraham knew what was going on. This is worship. Obedience and letting go. Giving our all. What is the good, the best? What we love. What we hold the dearest. We're going to give the best that we can to God. Because He's asking for the best. He gave the best. It's always the best with God. And we need to do that. Go to Moriah. Now, here's the prophetic place. Mount Moriah is about 2 days' journey from where Abraham is residing at this point. You know, he was nomadic. He stayed in places. Mount Moriah is 2 days' journey from where he was. Mount Moriah is Jerusalem later on. I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to do the sacrifice there. Prophetic of what God was going to be doing so much later on. Interesting, as I told you before, this is the first time we saw worship in the Bible. when he says to him, take the one that you love. This is the first time we see the word love in the Bible. First time. You would think it would be there before, wouldn't you? But no, it's held here for here, this very important pivotal time when we are being shown what true worship really is. The story is instructive and prophetic. The real worship is listening to God and doing what he wants, giving all, giving the best. God gave his best, Jesus. You know, Isaac did not die. The ram was put in instead. Jesus did die, taking the pain of all the sins, taking the separation from the Father and the brutality of the cross. Isaac didn't die, Jesus did. And in that we worship him by giving him our best, by letting go of the things that we hold dear and now turning on over to him. The first chapter of Job ends this way. After Job had lost all his children, all his belongings, all his cattle, everything, destitute now, he says this. It says, he fell down and worshiped. Fell down and worshiped. And he said, naked came I into this world, and naked I will leave. The Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He fell down and worshiped. And in the worship was the thought, I give it to God. I lost all. But blessed be the very name of the Lord, giving all. God can do great deals of things with just somebody who is willing. One person, somebody willing, God can do great things. Recently, maybe a month or two back, we had a ministry come down from Team Challenge. You remember that day? And you've seen them. They've come at other times. Now, I don't know, maybe you know the story behind Teen Challenge. If you do, well, it's good. We'll hear the story again. But Teen Challenge is a wonderful and profitable ministry. They did a survey on rehabilitation centers. A good rehabilitation center in the United States is considered good if they get above 10% success rate after a year. 10%. That's considered good. Teen Challenge has an 80% success rate after a year. 80%. The government wanted to get involved. They said, no, we don't want anything from you. So they have an 80%. Well, the way it came about was the founder of the ministry, David Wilkerson, was a pastor of a small church in Pennsylvania. And one night, he wrote this. This is autobiographical. He wrote this story. One night after he had watched The Late Show, he got guilty. And he got uncomfortable. And he knew that God was making him uncomfortable. And the thought came to him that he would be better served by reading and praying than watching the television. You would be better served. And how much more profitable it would be to spend time in prayer and study. He writes, as he thought about it, he believed God was asking him for more than he was doing and asking David Wilkerson to get rid of his television. That's the way, this is what the thought that came to him. So he writes, he did two things. He put an ad in a local paper to sell the TV. Put an ad in the paper to sell his TV. And then he gave a fleece. You know, the fleece, you, Lord, if it's wet or if it's dry or whatever, he put a fleece out. He told God that if he wanted the TV to be gone, then it would be done in a timely manner. And he says he determined when the paper would come out and hit the streets and be delivered to people's homes. And he said he determined that, and he told God, this is all in, he wrote this, he told God that if I sell this TV 1/2 hour after the papers hit the streets, then I'll know it's from you and I'll sell the paper, the TV. Well, what he did was, he got an alarm clock. And he went in the living room, and on the table next to the TV, he set the alarm clock for 1/2 hour. And he writes that at 29 minutes after he set that alarm, the phone rings, a man is on the other side of the phone and buys the TV on scene. Now, if David Wilkerson had not been willing and obedient to God to let go of this and to grasp onto God, no teen challenge, no rehabilitation center over here in, it's out in West Jersey, and they're in New England, and they're over here, and they have chapters all over. If he's not willing to succumb to this worship, there's no teen challenge. There's no Times Square church. But one man who was willing to go all in with God, there's no telling what can happen with that person. Let's do that with our families. We were praying for our families before. Let's do that with our families. Let's go all in with God. Let's give away and grab on. And we'll watch as God will begin to seek and to save that which is lost and make a difference in the lives. Had he not been willing to be obedient, letting go of his life, those young men who were here, who were delivered from their addictions, would not have been delivered from their addictions. And those that are coming down the line will have no place to go to find Jesus. Many saved by this one act of worship. It's in the letting go, the obedience. It is in those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Not just on a mountain, not in a church, not in a worship hall, but in spirit and in truth. We read, Abraham got up early. It could be that he got up early because he was troubled. He knows what he's asked to do. You know how sometimes you're troubled about something, you have a little difficulty sleeping? But in any event, he got up early, he saddled the donkey, he got the help that he needed, he got Isaac ready, he cut the wood for the sacrifice, and off they're going to go. And they set out to the place God told him to go. The real act of worship has less to do with what we are saying than responding in obedience to what God is saying. How much more do we need to hear from God and to trust him? Think about this in this story. 3 days journey. A 3 day journey with your son, knowing what's going to transpire on the other end, but no hesitation. The father of faith, Abraham, no hesitation as he makes this journey. So much more of God speaking and to his people than his people speaking to God. don't get me wrong, we praise God all the time. Glory be to his name. But it's so much more in the way of worship to hear from God, to allow God to speak, and to become attuned to his voice. And where is his voice? It's in the word, folks. In these last days, he has spoken to us through Jesus, his son. What must be going through his mind? A despair, a worry, maybe even joy. He's got something from God here. What's going through his mind? Well, the writer of Hebrews tells us what was going through his mind as he's going. And let me read the words. It's from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, and the one who received the promise was offering up his only son. It was he whom it was said, through Isaac your descendants will be named. He considered that God is able to raise people from the dead, from which he also received him back to life. Abraham, Isaac was the son of the promise. He was the one that would be the line where Jesus would come from. He was the one who God said, your descendants will be named after him, meaning that he would progenerate the family. But yet, what faith? What faith and what worship? Even if I go through with this, he'll raise him from the dead. He will do that for me. You see, Abraham, take your son, your only son, the one that you love, Isaac, and do that for him. No, God, he could have said, you promised me, Isaac is going to be the son of promise. By him, the descendants will be named. Not him. Choose Ishmael. Abraham knew Isaac was the promise, and God would fulfill his promise. You see, the great thing about this is that Abraham believed the promise. He believed that. But he believed the promiser more than he did the promise. Oh, that we can get into that line of thinking with God, believing him even more than what it says here. Because he's going to make it fulfill. He's going to be the one that's going to fulfill. So they come to the place, think about Isaac's a teenager now. And he's got an idea what's going on, but even he is obedient and faithful to the call. Maybe his father explained it to him. We're not told, but even he's obedient. And how prophetic is it? They go to Jerusalem, where Calvary will be. He puts the wood on, however they fastened it, on Isaac, and Isaac carries the wood up the mountain and willingly allows himself to be strapped to it. How prophetic are we looking at that? When I was in college, Bible college, it was a school of faith. You really weren't allowed to work. You could work a couple hours a week. They didn't want you working. They wanted you reading, studying, and doing those things. So nobody had a whole lot of money. I mean, there were a few rich kids running around, but nobody had a lot of money. The favorite name for everybody in that school was this name right here, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. We trusted that God would provide the things that we needed. Now, I went to school This is going back a few years, but when I went to this school, it cost me $250 a semester, and that's for food, lodging, and the curriculum. Now, today, tens of thousands of dollars. And even back then, there were schools in the area. It was tens of thousands of dollars. But we were a school of faith. And it was $250. That was it. And there were 300 kids in the school. And God provided every day. There was food on the table every day. There was heat. There was whatever we needed. It was there every day as God's people gave. There's no telling what can happen when one person reaches out, begins to give their all to God, letting go of those things we hold so dear, and allowing God to make a move. And I'm convinced that we will see wonders in our families, wonders at our job sites, in the communities, as we begin to let go of the things we hold so dear, the Isaac, the promise, and then begin to hold on to the promiser who can promise more. May his name be praised. The story of a faithful journey to worship. When they got there, he said, "You stay here, we're going over there to worship," because they were going to be obedient. There were no violins, there were no horns, just two people obedient to God and willing to do what God had called them to do. May God grant us the grace in these coming days to believe him more and to trust him more for all things. Can we bow our heads for a moment? Maybe you're here and you have something going on and you need more. Take a moment, just talk with God. Ask him to reveal to you what he's asking. Maybe at this point in time, you want to recommit yourself to God. Maybe you haven't done that. Maybe you've never done that. And you want Jesus to be Lord of your life. Just tell him now. Tell him now. Take a moment. Blessed be his name. God is so good. Lord, I need you. The most prayed prayer, Jesus help me. The prayer that's repeated the most throughout the world, throughout history, Jesus help me. I don't know, help me. Father, how thankful we are for your word. Lord, this story on its cover is a strange story that you would ask the man to do that, but yet knowing what would happen. We're thankful, Lord, for obedience, for faithful men. Well, Lord, we're thankful to you. Father, we're thankful for you, for you offered your son, and there was no intermediary. He gave himself fully and freely that we might have life. How thankful we are for this message, Lord, that you've given to us through your servant, that, Lord, you will go the whole way for us. Help us, Lord, to give back to you. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.